Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoseEntertainment.tv and Indy100.com radio, and I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning into my show. Because of you guys, I get to do what I do. I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show today. If you're into a great, cool comedy shows like All That, Nickelodeon, and stuff like that, and some cool Lifetime movies, we're going to have a dear friend of mine, an actor, Josh Server, coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. And if you want to see our in-studio guest photos of our lovely dear guest, Josh Server, go to our Facebook page, Star Wars Entertainment, over on Facebook. See our in-studio guest photos. And then if you want social media, at Tyrone Tan over on Twitter, T-Y-R-O-N-E-T-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy. And then on Instagram, thanks to the hacker, it's now Tyrone Tan Official on Instagram. And then if you really want on Facebook, same thing. And if you want to have any questions, comments, or like the music we're going to play, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. All right, we're going to get down to it. Now, we want to say, you know, first off, always thanks to all the guest co-hosts that have we've had rotated through the seasons. And we always want to say thank you, because it's always fun to have you guys come on. And we're going to have a brand new guest co-host on for today's show. He is an actor. His name is Eric Maldonado. Welcome, Eric Maldonado, to StarWarsEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome, man.
Thank you so much, Taryn.
So cool. It was great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
It's good to be here. It's so cool. So we want the audience just to get a little bit to know you. I know this show is going to be focused on our guests, but we do want to get to know a little bit about our guest co-host. So, Eric, talk a little bit about yourself. Where are you born and raised, my man?
Born and raised here in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah, San Fernando Valley. You
know, okay.
Hottest part of Cali is down in West Hills.
Wow, okay. So, and you also an actor. So is this something you always wanted to do growing up?
No. Actually, growing up, my passion was American football.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to be, you know, it. Growing up, like, the biggest athlete at the time was Reggie Bush in American football. And just watching him was like watching a show. He was just a highlight reel. And so I kind of wanted to emulate that. But there came a point in my life when I realized that I wasn't so much about the sport. I was more about, like, the highlight reel, just putting on a show, you
know?
And so that's when I kind of put two and two together, and as soon as I had a little taste of acting, I knew that that was what I wanted to do.
Cool. Well, it's going to be kind of cool. You probably have something in common with our guest of the hour, Josh Server, coming into the studio. But before that, I don't know if you know this, Eric. Did you, by any chance, guest co-host, we do a couple things here. By any chance, did you get the memo?
No.
The memo is Eric Maldonado, the guest co-host. We talk about some movie reviews before the guests come on. By any chance, have you seen any movies in the theater lately?
What's the last? Oh, 1917. I think that's the last movie I saw.
Yeah. Okay. So we could talk about that. And then I wanted to talk into something else as well. So I got to see that as well. Mm-hmm. So let me do a quick little intro of it. And then you can tell me what you thought. Okay. So thanks to IMDb here. Here's a little quick synopsis. 1917, rated R. On April 6th, 1917, a regiment assembles to wage war deep in enemy territory. Two soldiers are assigned to race against time and deliver a message that will stop 1,600 men from walking straight into a deadly trap. Directed by Sam Mendes and starring, Dean, Charles Chapman, George McKay, Daniel Mays, Colin Firth, Pip Carter, and the Apollo. Got a plethora of great actors here. So I got to see it. You got to see it. What'd you think?
It was... Well, I loved it, but I'd really trying to understand why. It's just it just kept me on my toes the whole time, you know. You're just trying to I was in the military myself, okay. So a lot of it, like that feeling of being out there, like on either training or on mission, they captured it so well.
Okay. Yeah. No. You know. I agree, because it was really the way it was shot. You know, I think it was very interesting as well. I mean, it was like in one takes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I know how difficult that is. I mean, actually, it's funny because me and Josh actually back years ago did a film all in one continuous shot in one take.
The endurance, I would imagine.
Yeah. So we'll maybe delve into that. But so I get that aspect of it. So, and I'm going, and this is on a bigger scale as well. So. I have to respect that, but it did made it interesting because every time I watched it, I kept thinking, okay, where could they have messed up? And, you know, they did a good job at, you know, keep going and that kind of thing. It was very well, like, orchestrated. I think it kept you, like I said, it kept you interested. I think the acting was great. And everything. There's a lot of things I'm going, how do they do that? You know, there's like when certain things are coming into, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a lot of action stuff going on. Yeah. And I'm still thinking technically it was in, you know, certain things are in one take and I'm going, man, that's a lot to organize. Yeah. But so overall, is it a movie that you think people should check out?
Oh, definitely. And if I could just say one more thing, what we love about heroes is when like we can just beat them and hurt them and just toss everything at them and they could just keep coming. And that's what I love about this movie is that the protagonist, you just drop the whole world on him, but he keeps taking one step at a time. And it's so motivational.
No. Yeah. And like you said, I loved it. I think it should be, I got to see it on Dolby Theater, which got the sound was just crazy.
Right,
So I definitely see if you check it out on like an IMAX or something of that nature.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll definitely do a lot of justice as well.
Oh, yeah.
So again, you highly recommend checking it out?
Very much.
Okay, so I do as well. I said you should check it out. Again, it's a 1917 rated R, directed by Sam Mendes. Check it out over there. So really quickly, I normally you do one, but I wanted to do two reviews really quick just to help out some people that I know involved, so to speak. By any chance, did you get to see the movie Birds of Prey?
No, I haven't. I intend to, but recently I've kind of tried to shut myself out and just try to focus on like reading and stuff.
Okay. Well, I just want to do a quick plug again because a dear friend of mine's daughter is in this movie, and I just wanted to kind of quick plug again. So it's a Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, rated R, directed by Kathy Yan. Let's see. It's starring the lovely, beautiful Margot Robbie, Rosie Perez, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Journey Smollett Bell, Ewan McGregor, and I want to give a shout out to Ella J. Bosco, which is the daughter of a longtime friend, Derek Bosco, and we go way back. And so it's kind of exciting to see his daughter, you know, have a lead character as like her breakout. And so I wanted to go check this out. I actually saw it twice during the last over the weekend.
It's a heck of a cast.
Here's a little thanks to IMDb. Here's a little quick synopsis. After slitting with the Joker, Harley Quinn joins superheroes Black Canary, Huntress, and Renee Montoya to save a young girl from an evil crime lord. Again, I got to check it out. Listen, I hear some mixed things. I loved it. I liked it the second time around.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't want to spoil a lot of things, but I could just say this. There's a lot of action, action, and action. Mm. And to see also, a lot of the female heroes and get to do that, I think it was awesome because, you know, there is a lot of girl power in this film. And I think that was one of their, you know, things to try to highlight. And I think it was really cool to see that because you don't really see that very often.
No.
And I just, you know, I love Margot Robbie. And everyone kind of grew on me. And then especially watching it the second time around, I think I enjoyed it more. But that's my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Sisters before misters. Let's go.
Okay. So I just want to give a special plug and I give a special shout out to my boy Derek Bosco and his daughter, Ella J. Bosco, who plays Cassandra Cain. You did awesome. And I'm sure, my friend is very, very proud of his daughter here. And so, again, so check that out. Again, that's Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, rated R. All right. So, did you by any chance, Eric Maldonado, actor, did you by any chance get the other memo?
You know what? I'm just going to...
Well, the other memo is that the guest of the hour, guest co-host of the hour, basically arranges ways to make the guest of the hour to make him, to make them feel welcome. So sometimes we bring in the guests of the hour on limos or hang gliders or Millennium Falcons or something of that nature. Uh-huh. By any chance, did you arrange a way for our guest of the, and this is a special guest, this is actually a longtime dear friend coming in to see us. So by any chance, did you arrange a way for the guest of the hour? How did you arrange a way for him to come into the studio? Or do I have to go to Plan B?
It was a very well-planned, strategic handshake.
Okay. No. Well, I think he's a kind of a. Some people may say he could be like a Prince Charming kind of guy. You know, he's a charming guy.
I
would say people would find him attractive. I'm assuming. So I think kind of a royalty kind of style. I think we should bring him in. He's a nice gentleman as well. I could say that. Okay. And the reason why I could say that because I showed a picture. Someone was asking me who you're going to be on, and I showed this gentleman, and a couple girls actually said. We'll talk about it to see if he's taken or not. I don't know. But anyways, he's a longtime dear friend. You may have known him. He's from shows like it was a hit Nickelodeon series called All That. And then there's also the reboot of All That. And then he was also in recently a Lifetime movie called Your Family or Your Life. And then he's coming out with a new movie called Await the Dawn. So we're going to be bringing him. I think I'm going to just bring him in on the classic way. I think a chariot. I think that'd be great.
You know what? Yes.
So what all you need to do, Eric, is open that door, and then you on the count of three, you whistle for the horses to bring Joss Server on the chariot, okay? So on the count of three, and open the door, and one, two, and three. All right. Here he comes into the studio on the chariots. Oh, fanfare outside. They're waving. They're throwing roses. Some people throwing their underwear. I don't know what's going on. He looks cool. Here's my dear friend coming down. He's again from the series Nickelodeon's All That. From Lifetime's Your Family or Your Life. And from the new upcoming movie, Await the Dawn. Here he comes into the studio. Welcome, my dear friend, longtime dear friend, actor Joss Server. Welcome, Joss Server, to Star Wars Entertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Wow, what an intro.
Yeah,
I don't know if we can live up to that.
Eric,
I appreciated the special handshake, but the Millennium Falcon would have been cool.
Oh,
I'm just going to throw that out there. Chariots, handshakes, we'll take them.
Well, awesome. Again, Josh
thank
Server.
Thank you, Ty. It's very, very, very nice to be here, and thank you for that nice intro.
No, it's great to have you. Finally, we've been playing this, close to a year of... Back and forth, maybe not as long, but
Has it been a year? So we missed a couple dates, but we made it happen.
I think we had that old moxie, and we just
made it happen.
Yeah, we would hit each other up, and then things happen, and then all of a sudden, but time goes by quick. But it's great to finally
sure
have
does.
You here, and great to start off with the new year again. So again, Josh, man, again, seriously, it's been a while. We were reflecting back with actually my guest co-host off the air that we've known each other for at least over 20.
Oh, yeah.
Like, since we were like four.
Yeah, at least 20 to 20, 25, like growing up in back in the day in Hollywood, '90s. And yeah, it's been a long road, but I'm super happy that we're reconnected and we're old buddies.
Yeah. And do you by any chance remember how we met? Do you remember at all?
I think we hung out multiple times, so I don't know if I remember the origin story.
I think in
the, but you put me on the spot. I apologize.
No, I'm trying to remember because yeah.
or you don't know either.
No,
oh,
I do.
Good.
I do. I do.
Oh,
and
good,
so, but
good,
I tried
good.
To see. I wanted to verify if this is the actual spot because I think it was at an old. It was. I want to say it was at the Universal Studios backlot, and we were doing a charity event. For I think it was the Big Help or something like that.
Oh yeah, one of the old Nickelodeon events.
And then I think we were backstage. We had some mutual friends, and that's when we first just met.
Right.
And then we just kind of connected, and that kind of
yeah.
Thing.
And we had a lot of mutual people and mutual friends that we knew. So I didn't remember that being the very first time, but obviously yeah. We used to go to those events all the time.
Yeah,
so.
But I think that's what it was. But anyways, so we want the audience to get to know you, if not already fans, becoming even more fans. But so we always like to start off with this question, Mr. Josh Server, where are you born and raised?
Born Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
A lot of family still lives back there in the city and all through the suburbs. We moved around a lot when I was a kid. So I lived in a lot of different states and then kind of made our way back to Chicago. And then that's when I got the show with Nickelodeon, and that brought me to Florida and back to California. So it's been a couple of continuous loops.
Now,
but I really do, I claim, you know, Chicago as like my hometown.
Okay. Now, did you know growing up that you always wanted to become an actor or get in the showbiz?
You know, maybe not always, but I definitely think that, you know, I was a kid with a lot of a lot of energy.
Okay.
and needed good places to put that energy. I think it was like when more of towards you know, really very young, still like that 8, 9, 10 years old age,
yeah.
When I started doing it professionally. And before that, I was doing a lot of the like school plays and things like that. So it was very young, maybe not forever, but
yeah.
I've always had that the luxury of kind of always knowing what you want to be when you grow up,
yeah, yeah.
Which is unique, and I'm grateful for that.
And do you remember who, like, was there a particular talent or actor that inspired you to become an actor, or just in the showbiz, or was it like how did that kind of come
yeah,
about?
Yeah, maybe not one specific person. I loved, you know, I was one of those kids that would watch movies with my dad and memorize the entire thing.
Wow.
Like, so maybe even like the very, if I had to put like a, you know, from stories they've told me, like I remember like the superhero movies we were yeah. talking about. I heard in the back, you guys were talking about Birds of Prey. By the way, no spoilers. I hadn't yeah. seen those two movies.
Okay.
I felt like I had seen a lot of the wonder. It was a great year for
yeah.
movies this year.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of them, but I have not seen 1917
okay.
or
Birds of Prey. Yeah.
I remember they told me I watched the original Superman.
Okay,
with
Christopher
Reeves,
okay.
and
okay.
memorized the whole thing.
Wow.
And thought I was a superhero. And yeah,
wow, and that's awesome because you did start young in the business. Because a lot of people, I mean, at least growing up, I mean, when we kind of got into the business, I mean, there was like a teen kind of area of where a lot of people started, but then there's some people that started like even younger than that. So you said you started around 8 or 9.
I mean, professionally, like 9 or 10.
Do you remember your first job?
It was like a lot of commercial stuff and or like industrial videos, and then I shot a couple of like, you know, TV roles, but it was all stuff that was like smaller stuff at the beginning. My family had moved back to California.
Yeah,
I was in San Diego, and believe it or not, me like. I started driving up to LA with my mom, my stage mom,
yeah.
who would drive me up to LA for auditions. And that's where I started like really professionally doing it and then moved back to Chicago and continued.
Wow.
So.
And then from that point.
But I was always like up for pretty big stuff, you know, when I was a kid. And
yeah.
so I did have an incredible amount of like love and, you know, success kind of started early, which was really, you know, really cool, but also like hard to process when you're young. So
do you remember when you got actually bit by the acting bug? Was there a specific job? Was there an incident?
Yeah, I mean, it was more of like those school plays and you know, a lot of the theater stuff that was happening in school. That was really more the bug. The professional
yeah.
stuff started later.
Eric Maldonado, you have any questions on his early career before we get into the later of the career, like early childhood stuff or anything like that?
Either way, though, I might just have you do that voice that you were doing for the movie plugs. I just need to take you everywhere with this. Anytime someone asks me a question, Ty just goes into the
Josh
movie voice.
Server.
Yeah, exactly. I might not answer anything else and just have
ladies
you do that voice.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
That's good stuff.
You know what?
That's
no, I've been sitting here this whole time listening to Josh, and I can't get past this question. What is your favorite pizza?
an age-old question, and really so important. I'm kind of, you know, just easy when it comes to pizza. You go half pepperoni, and I even think cheese, half cheese pizza is, you know, cheese is underrated.
Yeah.
You don't need to put a lot on pizza to make it amazing.
Yeah.
So I'd go like New York, really, really thin, you know, the folded slices.
Oh, yeah.
Or again, the Chicago boy in me loves the deep dish. Two different experiences, but both equally valid.
That's what I was waiting for.
Now, when your parents, obviously you said your mom was driving you, but like when you first told them I wanted to be an actor, what was their first reaction? Do you remember? Like, were they like, sure, oh my gosh, let's do it? Or were like, I don't know, this is the right for you, you know, right?
Interestingly enough, I think my mom was always like super, super supportive, you know, down for that. Really kind of knew that there was like that, you know, that energy, I guess, in me that, you know, had that. She promoted, you know, creativity in the arts, and I was really grateful for that. Like, my sister's a writer and a poet, and a published poet, and so she encouraged us to be creative. My dad, I think, came around. I think he thought originally I was maybe in it for the wrong reasons, for the highlight reel.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, to do a callback for what you said earlier. But I think when I started to really work a lot, I remember my dad coming to like either acting classes or like being with me on set, and he would see how many hours we would be putting in, and that it wasn't all, you know, it's not all glam, and you know, it's a lot of work to do what we do, especially when you're young. And so I think that like got him over the hump as far as like that my heart was in it and it was in the right place.
Yeah.
So let's talk. It was divided, but now they're both like, I've just have the most supportive family and they're just cheering for me.
So let's just jump into your big break. Your big break, would it be
this show? This is my big break. I am peaking.
Would it be the Nickelodeon TV series, All That? Would you consider that been your big break as a you know, a young actor coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I think the popular opinion would be All That is what, you know, people know me most for, and that was definitely like the most, so far the most popular thing I've done.
And do you remember when you auditioned for that? What do you remember even what the audition was? What did they tell you? Like, hey, it's about a guy about like what do they tell? How do they pitch it?
Well,
to
you guys know they don't tell you much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I do remember all that. I've told this story in like different facets and interviews and things like that. So I do remember Nickelodeon knew me a little bit because I had done a show for them that didn't get picked up. I had shot a pilot.
Oh, wow.
For them that didn't go. That was like maybe a year or two, year and a half before that. So I did have like a relationship with Nickelodeon. Yeah. But they brought me in, and I just remember that this specific audition, you very rarely get to like do your own material.
Mm-hmm.
Even as just a creative person, but certainly as a kid, you just don't get to like, you know, do characters and write jokes and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So All That was cool because they had you do like monologues and things that they had written, right? That the producers and writers had written, but they also wanted to see your own material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and, you know, so I remember going in there and like doing my material, you know, of course worked it out with my parents, right? But I, you know, my characters, some impressions, and that was, I just remember that was very unique because you just didn't get to do that a lot.
And then when you got the role, when did you know you were on something special or it was successful? Was it, because I've been to your tapes back in the day. I remember like picking you up a couple times or going out or something like that way back at Sunset Gower Studios. And I remember there was just, the crowds were just the audiences were so enthusiastic. Is that when you knew there was it was a hit? Or
thank you for the support. people, he was waving his hands.
Were you in that crowd?
Eric was in the back like shaking his hand. So I wanted to reference what he was doing. But you know, listen, our show is. We're all, and we've talked about all this, like the cast members who I'm still all close with, connected with. it's we're so grateful that people loved it then and now have literally been talking about it for years and years and years. And for, you know, kids in the 90s, it's that cult classic that they just really have always loved and and grew up with. So, but it was a different time back then. Yeah. So you couldn't like immediately connect with your fans, go on the show, go on your social media account and instantly be like, oh, this show has millions of followers and millions of people responding. So it was a little bit more organic where people would write fan letters. I don't want to age myself here, but they would write fan letters. They would come to tapings.
Eric's like, what's and a so, letter?
No. They would send snail mail. It was, I think it was more of a slow burn.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So like, you know, the pilot, you started to get, you know, people were talking a little bit about it. And for, I think like halfway or kind of towards the end of first season, I recognized that the show was popular and people loved it. And it was like a cool thing.
Yeah, awesome. We definitely put more thought into it. Like when we would just plan out when the show was on, you know.
Yeah, because you were telling me off air when I was telling you who was going to come on, and I, you know, I said, "Oh, I'm going to have an old friend of mine. He's on a show, all that." And I said, "Were you?" And by chance, and he was like, "He's like, I used to watch that show." And you were so
we got one.
So were you a huge fan, or mediocre fan, or what was it, Eric?
I was a fan.
He has your face on your
today. Let's just keep that under wraps.
Now, what was it for you as a fan of the show? What was it that you loved tuning into, and for you personally?
Well, to be completely honest, I wasn't. It's kind of broke, so we kind of had the rabbit ear antenna. I would have to wait to go to my cousin's house to watch it. But when I would go to his house, like it was just like, you know, just like laser focus. But
and why did that captivate you for you, like what was it that just captivated
just
you?
The energy And I have to ask, like, your characters, they're up here like the whole time. That must be exhausting.
It's kind of the energy I was talking about earlier. It was but they just, after a while, I've said this before again, they you know, when you're first starting to figure it out, you're comedic voice as a kid, you know, you're trusting the writers, you're trusting the producers, but somewhere along the way, like, they started to trust us too. Right. And that's when I feel like everybody kind of, the show really found its footing, because all these different kids were getting to really like do their thing. And my thing a lot was like those high level, high energy, like just insane characters. All the characters and really all the kids had that amount of energy. Yeah. It's just mine were specifically.
So what would you say was the walk away? I mean, I know, and we're going to talk about the reboot, but what for you at the time when it was ending, what do you think was the biggest walk away that you learned or that you took away from doing that whole show? And then obviously we're going to talk more about now coming back to it.
I mean, you know, it's interesting. Like when you're a teenager, you know, I would have liked to have said that, oh yeah, I had all this, like, I had all these moments where I was looking back and, you know, reflecting on the show and all these, you know, but when you're a kid, you're just kind of like moving forward. Like, what's next? What's next? What's next? I think all the reflection stuff has come like now later in life, as you get a little older, you're like, wow. You know, being part of something like that was really special. I got to do 6 seasons, over 100 episodes before I was like 20. Wow. So, you know, some people don't even get that in a whole career. Yeah. And it happened in just like a really fast amount of time for me. So super grateful for the experience. And, you know, the older me would look back and go, wow, kind of shake the younger me and just, and even be more present of what was happening. Right. Yeah. But you don't necessarily always have that, like, forward thought when you're, you know, 17 or 18. All
right. Well, we're going to come back again. We're going to talk about more, not only, you know, of the new reboot of all that. Also, we'll talk about your a movie that you just had on. It was called Your Family and Your Life.
The movie is way better when you say
and then all obviously you got a new movie called Await the Dawn. And really quickly, I know we'll keep plugging this, social media or anything like that.
Twitter, Josh_server. Same on Instagram, Josh_server. And then Facebook is just Josh Server.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we'll be back more. Thanks, and then guys. Eric Maldonado, you want to, as a guest co-host, you want to introduce this song that we're going to be playing? And we'll be back more here with actor Josh Server, again, from All That, Your Family or Your Life, and Await the Dawn. Again, do you want to introduce this song, Eric?
I'd love to. The song you are about to hear is Already in Love by Lid.
All right. Oh, you got it. Someone was like, Already in Love by LYD. So it's Already in Love by Lyd. Again, we'll be back here with Joss Server. And again, here we go. Already in Love by Lyd. We'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
She's on drugs. I asked her, what are you smoking on? She told me peace and love. Soon as she said it, I knew it. She was the one for me. I'm walking around like I'm tripping. I gotta find me a ring. I'm already in love. While we talked about life, I'm falling for girls, but it wasn't the same. Don't even know her name. I'm already in love. I'm already in love. Baby, I'm already in love. The lights were flashing, the music was blasting, everybody was
That was Already in Love by Lyd. Again, if you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. Again, that was Already in Love by Lyd, and it's L-Y-D is how you spell that. If you like, check him out. He was a great guest on the show, and I dig his music. What do you think, Eric? Did you like it?
The song was dope. Okay. I like the little salsa vibe,
okay.
You know, the background.
Any comments for you?
No, I agree with him.
And what is your, speaking of music, what is your kind of favorite music, Josh?
I mean, I'm pretty eclectic when it comes to music, like, you know, but I'm also, you know, not a huge country guy, but, you know, I pretty much listen to everything else, but I can also appreciate, like, some, you know, poppy country and stuff like
gotcha.
That. But, you know, I mean, even, you know, I know it's, yeah, even top 40. You know,
You know, what about yourself, Eric? What's your favorite kind of music?
Oh, I'm a little bit of everything. Like, if you look through my playlist, like, you won't, like, just think, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
I'm undefinable when it comes to music.
Ooh, like, mysterious playlist. I like it.
I like to think so.
I like it. I'm more mood. You know, it's got to, whatever you're in the mood for, right?
Yeah.
So we are back here again with my guest co-host of the hour, actor Eric Maldonado.
Hi.
and my guest of the hour, actor from TV series such as All That, Lifetime movie, Your Family or Your Life, and then the new upcoming movie, Await the Dawn, Mr. My dear friend, Josh Server. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So, Josh, so we talked about you leaving the show, or not leaving the show, when the show ended of All That, and then, you know, you kind of moved on from there and then and lived life, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's talk about now you're back on. Like, how many now? The new Reba, what was that like? And then how did that all come about? You know,
bizarre. Like, I mean, I did, you know, I don't know that I like, I kind of left the industry for a while. I wanted to go off and do some other stuff. And then, you know, in my mid-30s, I really just kind of wanted to just start plugging away and, you know, acting again and like really focusing on it. So, I've been, you know, thankful to be working and doing different projects again, you know, later in life. Yeah. But then while I've been on that journey, they've just decided to reboot the show 25 years later. And that happened because the Brian Robbins, who is basically the executive producer and creator of all that, became the new president. I mean, he's a very successful guy, done a lot of the other stuff in the industry, but had kind of circled back around and become the president of Nickelodeon
again.
Wow. And so, you know, he has said that I think he would have never canceled all that. Like, it was more of like one of those things where he wanted it to be like a Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, keep going.
Where, you know, certain years I always love Saturday Night Live. I respect how hard it is to do that show. So I don't really get into the good casts or better casts. I think they're all great casts, you know. But, you know, sometimes people have a bigger connection to certain casts of SNL. Mm-hmm. But they just keep it going, right? Mm-hmm. It's been a staple. So yeah. I think he wanted to do that with all that and just, you know, continue to bring it. Yeah. To the masses. And so it's been really cool. They went and got, you know, seven, now eight, they brought one more on, kids on that are just so cool and talented and funny and sweet.
Yeah, it's funny. I got to interview a lot of them at this one charity event that we saw.
That's right.
And it was Family Day for TJ Martell Foundation.
Yes.
And they are pretty sweet. And the thing is, you guys are all, you know, very humble. You've always remained humble. And what do you think kept you always grounded all these years? Like, seriously, you've always been humble since day one, and you're still the same, almost the same person. You know, as of humbleness.
Thanks.
And
wait till we get to the second part. That's when I really I kind of reference going back to I have great family, I have great friends. You know, people who keep you grounded and will tell you, you know, if you get out of line. So I think it's like it's who you choose to surround yourself with. But I've also, you know, had a lot of ups and downs in life. And I think that teaches you to just stay grounded and stay humble. And now I just, anytime I get to do anything acting or creative or writing or anything like that, I'm just insanely grateful, right? But the kids, the new kids on the show have great families and support systems. But they're all just genuinely sweet, awesome kids.
And you mentioned something earlier on the show that if you were to see your younger self and you would say certain things, what do you say to the generation of all that now? Do they ask you an advice? What do you say to them? I mean, because you can't see yourself, but maybe see them, yourself and them.
Especially like the first couple episodes, and we were getting that a lot in like the new interviews when they started to reboot the show. And of course, some of the kids and even like the stage parents would like pull you aside and be like, okay, you seem relatively normal.
Yeah.
How did that happen? It's unfortunate that we set such a low bar sometimes for kid actors. You don't hear about a lot of the great stories. The media, you know, they tend to glorify some of the tougher stories.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best compliment you can get when you're a kid actor is like walk up to you and you're like, yeah, you seem okay. Thank you.
Any questions really quick on the middle, the mid career, so to speak, before we're going to get into his other movies coming up. Any quick questions, Eric?
No, I was just curious as to how that, like, if there's like a mentoring process that you have with the kids on set. Like, is there a way?
Yeah, I don't think it hasn't been like clearly defined as a mentoring thing, but I can to go back to answer your question, Ty. I think you do just tell them to like stay humble, you know, enjoy, be present, you know, have fun with this thing because you're on like a very special show and it's a you know, a cool trajectory. So I do kind of try to remind them of that, or I remind their parents to like make sure they're going out and having fun and other things in their life that, you know, still you get to remain a kid. So, but as far as like mentoring, no, I think the producers have liked us being there, at least for the first couple episodes, because it just kind of the, you know, it sets the tone for the kids.
Yeah.
And so maybe just like through osmosis of us being there. Yeah. Right.
And has there ever been like a situation where you were just killing it, so like you're just being so funny that they couldn't hold it in?
Oh, well, yeah, we've had a couple of moments like that. But even like I'll take it away from myself, like put it on Kel for a second. Like, right. I've, you know, when we were on the same show, like Kel Mitchell and yep. Keenan, and like when we were on the show together, we couldn't ever keep it together with each other.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong, I've had those moments with the kids, and they've had it with like with me when I got to yep. reprise, like, I don't know if you guys know Detective Dan. That mm-hmm. was like a really fun character we've done a couple times on the new reboot, and the kids haven't been able to keep it together. But like we did a couple of live versions of Coach Creighton. I don't know if you guys, anybody knows that Kel character.
Yeah,
you know. It is one of my all-time favorite characters he's ever done. So I you know, anytime we get to do like the old stuff, it, you know, I'm dying, the kids are dying, you know.
So wow. And let's transition now into, obviously, from comedy, now you get to do some drama stuff. You got two films, one that you just finished that was on Lifetime. It's called Your Family or Your Life. Talk about a little bit about that character, what that's about, and, you know, how was that experience?
Well, the movie was originally called April's Flowers, and then now it's a Lifetime changed it to a very awesome Lifetime title. It was cool. It was a very cool experience. Jenny Garth
yeah.
was the lead of the movie, and then her daughter, her real life daughter, Luca Bella, was playing her daughter in the movie. So oh, wow. people really liked that, and a lot of the press really liked the fact that they were doing movies together, and so it was a cool experience. And as far as like my character, I play a pretty like morally debunked lawyer who's involved in this case, and is kind of like, my character is the reason and the catalyst that all the bad stuff happens in the story.
Wow.
So it was a little, it was interesting to fun to play with, because he's still pretending to be the good guy, but he's also the bad guy. So there's a little bit of a...
So you play his twisted character.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a line to walk there where he, you know, it was more of a gray area with this guy.
What does the homework look like for that?
It was interesting. And it was, you know, I would have liked even more time with it, because we found out we were shooting pretty fast. But yeah, you know, worked with coaches and teachers and broke down the script and did what I normally do for anything a little bit more dramatic. So it was fun.
And no one
has really seen... It's interesting. A lot of my career stuff over the years has been comedy. So for me, these like new movies where I get to, you know, show more of that dramatic work, it's always fun and always interesting to see how people would respond.
That's awesome. And then, so that's your, is that still playing, or is it?
I think they'll continue to
Lifetime
replay it, but it aired end of last year, like early November.
Yeah. So again, but that's, if you catch it, it's Your Family or Your Life
again.
Again, so let's talk about your
Nailed
new
it.
Movie.
Nailing it.
You got your
Nailing
a new it. Movie coming out. It's called Await the Dawn. With Josh.
So much better.
So Await the Dawn. Talk a little bit about this movie. What audience could expect that you know of, and then your character, how did this come about?
Yeah, so I play a guy named Howard. This is a horror movie. It's my first
oh, wow.
horror movie. Big genre for the people who like love horror. You know, such a loyal fan base. So yeah. I was, you know, nervous to yeah. deliver for them. I got to in this particular film, I'm like the main lead.
Okay, wow.
Where in that the Lifetime movie, it was more of a supporting role. So yeah. it was a lot of heavy lifting. But it was so much fun. And then, you know, they put a lot of like amazing talented people in this movie. You know, a lot of horror veterans like Dee Wallace, who's
oh, yeah.
you know
yeah.
Mom from E.T. Yeah, Critters.
Yeah.
I mean, you
yeah,
I've
interviewed her.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Actually, I think she has a show here.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway.
Oh, her show's in the same building?
I think so.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
so kismet. She's amazing. Gabrielle Stone is yep. her daughter, who's in the movie as well. Courtney Gaines, who's a horror, yeah. you know, horror beast, so to speak.
So far, three interviewed you, all three so far, you know, through the years.
Is there a person in this movie you haven't interviewed? Let's pull up.
Courtney Gaines.
Because then I have to like be the best interview out of this movie, and I don't know if we can. I don't know.
But the
character's really a lot of. I had a lot of fun with this one because, again, it's. It's also one of those guys that you don't know if he's the protagonist or antagonist
yeah,
until
area.
Yeah.
Love so for, to carry the lead now, What was that feeling like for you in knowing that you are like, it's on you?
Oh, well, listen, I didn't mean it that way. Certainly not. It's daunting, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you know, movies are, it only works when it's a collaboration.
Correct.
And that's not just from the acting side. That's every part of the process, yeah. Right? It's a group sport. And that kind of art form. So I just meant that it's just going to be nice for some of the people who have only have seen me as like a sketch comedian, yeah. Right, to see that much like, you know, dramatic acting from start to finish.
So
that's how I meant it.
And what's the movie about? Are you able to talk what it's about?
I'm basically a guy. I kidnap a family traveling across country, and you don't know why I do it. And then throughout the process, you find out that I'm running from something, and it's, you know, it's a creepy amalgamation of a child, a demon, you know, wow. Kind of thing, and madness ensues.
Now, when you got the script, were you like, I want this, I want to do this, or like, how did this come about? Because considering you said you had a background of comedy, where did you think, how did this kind of land? Is this one of those things you got asked to do this?
Yeah,
you
I did get asked to do it. It was really cool. The director and some of the producers I knew, and I think, I never put words in anyone's mouth, but for Macho, is Pablo Macho Masonet is the director. I think he was thinking of the... not the challenge, but the excitement of having a comedy guy do like that kind of role, right?
No, and it's kind of cool because there's certain actors I'm trying to pinball right now that you've seen, and obviously you got like Jim Carrey, that's 180, but there's also just someone recently, Adam Sandler, when he did Uncut Gems, and then people, like he did so awesome in that.
I mean, you know, they say that, you know, if you can do comedy, so I think that inspired him to bring me on. I mean, he was a fan of the show, which I think helped. Yeah. He was a 90s kid fan of the show. And so, yeah, I was really, again, grateful for the opportunity. And he, you know, he was an amazing usher for me through this journey. And, you know, you work that closely with someone, you got to trust them. And so he's awesome.
So is there expected release date for this?
I don't have a release date yet. We're doing a screening at the end of the month. Okay. It's in all the festivals, and awesome. It's doing really good in the like all the horror, like, you know, indie film awesome. Festivals. And so I think they're just shoring up distribution, and hopefully we'll have a date for you guys soon.
Awesome. Again, it's called Await the Dawn, starring Joss Server. So and a plethora of great actors. Dee Wallace, Gabriel Stone, Courtney Gaines. Excuse me, anyone else?
Bruce Davison is in it. Okay. I mean, he's, you know, Globe winner, you know. So they really assembled an amazing, amazing cast.
And shout out one more time to the director.
Pablo Macho quotes Masonet.
Awesome.
The fourth? Okay. He's just got a cool name, the bottom line.
If you survive at the end, blink twice.
That's good. We got like less than 3 minutes left here. So ultimately, Josh, obviously you've been inspired. This show is ultimately about inspiring others. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that wants to do what you do, become an actor, or just follow their dreams in general?
Well, first and foremost, I would say it's never too late to do that. A lot of times there's whatever, life happens, or people are, you know, have their own fears and worries about doing that. And at any point in your life, I think what's cool, but for me, I've had, you know, did stuff young and then now kind of getting back into it. And during that time when I wasn't, I just, you miss it, right? So everybody deserves to find their joy. And once you do find what, you know, lights your soul on fire, just do it at all costs. Don't give up and just keep showing up. Mm-hmm. And working hard, and that's what I would say. Yeah. Awesome.
Eric, anything to ask before we end off with Josh Server?
What gets you through those quiet moments when like nothing seems to be going?
There's a lot of reading, like you were saying, a little bit of meditation, you know. Or just like having, you know, finding some stuff that's completely away from the industry, which can be a, you know, a grind, and, you know, hanging out with my girl and just going out and having fun. Yeah.
Do you like give a shout out to your girl at least?
Uh, Oh yeah, Carly Craig. Yeah, she would like that. She would like all our socials put up here.
Go for it. Go. Shut. We have 2 minutes.
Just add Carly Craig.
At Carly Craig.
Yeah, at CarlyCraig.com.
What's up, Carly Craig?
Yeah. Well, she couldn't make it tonight, so she would love it if we shout
well,
her out.
Well, Carly,
on Instagram.
Next time you are
you follow, welcome, follow, like, support, okay. Subscribe.
So that's
you know,
at
all that
Carly
good stuff.
Craig. How do you spell that? C A R L I E.
Yes.
C A R L I E Craig. C R A I G.
You nailed
at
it.
At Carly Craig. And then speaking of socials, Josh Server, one more time, your socials.
At Josh Server, at Josh _ Server, and that's IG and Twitter, and then Facebook's just Josh Server.
So that's Josh _ Server.
I think it was like one of those hacker moments I heard that at the beginning. You know? So some of the good handles were taken, and we go with what we go with.
So Josh _ Server, that's S-E-R-V-E-R. On Instagram and Twitter, and then on Facebook, just Josh Server, and anything else. So you got okay. So Last Storm, you obviously the reboots of all that, Your Family or Your Life, that could hopefully be checking out again on Lifetime, and then of course Await the Dawn coming out. Anything else you want to plug or anything?
No other plugs. Just you know, hope to be doing a lot more stuff soon, and more stuff for people to see. But I'm just really happy to be here, guys, and thank you for having me.
And Eric Maldonado, social media.
Instagram's at Maldonado XXIX, which is my old football number.
Okay, I was wondering what that was.
I had the I in the, okay. In the third. And then just Eric Maldonado on Facebook. And if I could just say, the first thing that came like back to me when he told me that you were going to be the guest is that Good Burger.
Ah.
I grew up to that movie. I love that movie. And I just wanted to.
There's been whispers and rumors they're trying to make a Good Burger 2 forever. It's not happening yet, but we appreciate that. We didn't get to talk about that. So listen, anytime people like the show or like the Good Burger movie, it's all love, brother.
Anything you want to really say? Anything like now, like sincere to Josh, as a fan of the show and movies? I mean, this is like.
Were the other things not sincere? I'm just qualifying. He's like, now you have that quiet moment of sincerity when we're off the air.
Because, you know, like, there's people, I mean, we got really, you know, like, when you meet the certain person that maybe that you admired, there's that one thing you always want to say, oh, man, if I had that opportunity to say one thing, you know, is there something that maybe by chance or?
Thank you for making the dream seem tangible.
Boom. There you go. Honored, brother. Yeah. Honored.
And
lastly,
Josh, is there
anything we can do to that?
Josh, anyone out there that maybe you'd love to meet? Or that you
have I mean, I have so many people in the industry I haven't worked with yet. I'd have to put like a short list together. Just even like watching the I was talking about the Oscar movie. Like, it was such an amazing year for movies. And, you know, just I, you know, would love to. You know, work with Quentin or Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, there's just some there's some people out there that were, any of the Parasite people, you know, they crushed the entire Oscars. Yeah. So I just, you know, I like being surrounded by, you know, creative, talented people. And, you know, I feel blessed to be in an industry where you get to work with a lot of those people. So
it was a blessing to have your friendship for all these many years, and it's a blessing to have you on this show. Eric, thank you so much. Thank you, Josh. And I wish you nothing but the best. To you and your family and your loved ones. Again, I treasure the friendship that we have and continue to have.
Old school Hollywood friends, Titan. Yeah, and same to you. And again, thank you for having me. The pleasure's mine. Yeah.
And again, I also want to say thank you guys all for tuning in. Again, you know, I'm always grateful on this new year, 2020. You have something to say, Eric?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to my lovely wife, Svala. Love you, baby.
Okay. Okay. Again, so thank you guys.
We've done good, guys. We've done good.
Okay, guys. Valentine's Day is around the corner, too.
Right. Friday. Okay. Friday. Let's get those shout outs.
All right. Well, again, I just want to say thank you guys all. God bless you guys all. I always want to end off my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.